Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing. This message is by Colin Squires.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning to Crawley, who are joining us on the stream at the moment. And welcome to our next instalment as we kind of drawing to the end of our series on prayer. Although, of course, as we're drawing to maybe the end of a series on prayer, does not mean we're drawing to the end of praying. We've looked at prayer over the last couple of months as the engine room. We've looked at personal prayer and our relationship with God. We've looked at the prayer of agreement. We've looked at praying in tongues. We've looked at praying the word. We've looked at intercession, perseverance in prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving, alignment with the word, and authority in prayer. Now, I really hope that in all of this, what it has not done is made it feel like prayer is more complicated. Like we come to pray and go, oh, am I supposed to be doing the prayer of authority, the prayer of thanksgiving, or the prayer of agreement? What now? What kind of prayer am I supposed to be doing? Hopefully that's not been the case or your experience at all. But in fact, is the opposite. A confidence, a knowing of, I can pray the word in this situation. I can pray with the authority that I have in Christ. Like, is it giving you confidence? Has it been equipping?
Yes.
I hope so. That wasn't overwhelming response.
Yes.
So, but if there has been any sense of like, I just feel more confused than I was before or anything like that, then I apologize. Maybe we've not done a good enough job of communicating that. But I believe that what God wants to really do is just bring a simplicity in our prayer, more than anything else, is actually in all these things, they aid us in our confidence that we have a connection with our Father. And we connect with Him with authority, with in relationship, in all of these different ways. But that is the most important thing. If we feel like now, after this series, there's an idea of, now I'm really good because I've got some really big, eloquent prayer words or a special prayer voice. Hallelujah! You know, we don't need a special prayer voice or special long eloquent words or anything like that. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone else can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they'll ever get. It's in Matthew 6. He then says in verse 7, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. But it's not about clever phrases or looking good in front of the pastor or anybody else with that. And I know that, but how often do we sometimes feel like, I'm not sure I can pray because I don't feel like I'm eloquent enough or I have the word. So we know it, and yet our heart can be deceitful, right? We feel like we still should do it. I love Luigi Gioia. He speaks in an Alpha video, this simple phrase. He says, the most important thing I think about prayer, he says, is keep it simple, keep it honest, keep it going. And so I want to encourage you right now, before we do anything else, is we're going to take just 20 seconds to pray. But I encourage you, as you pray, do those three things. Keep it simple, keep it honest, and the keep it going is going to be an ongoing thing. But what is the thing that's on your heart that you're maybe crying out to God for at the moment, or you're praying a lot about? And I encourage you, just simplify it down to its most simple, just straightforward, honest cry of your heart. Not more than maybe just a sentence. And let's just bring it before the Lord, free from any, I'm supposed to do it this way or that or anything like that, and just honest, simple, Jesus, here's my request. Amen. Keep it simple, keep it honest, keep it going. Jesus said in verse 6 of Matthew 6, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. And I love that bit, your Father. This coming away and just being just us and God, being with our Father. And when I first got saved, I remember talking to some friends who were Christians, and we were talking about prayer. And it was one of the things that sort of in part of the conversation that led me to giving my life to Christ. And they were, and I was like, oh, I know what prayer is. I've seen prayer in like in school. People bow their heads like this and they say, Our Father who art in heaven. And they usually say it in a bit of a drone. It doesn't sound very exciting. And they said, no, prayer is this conversation with God. We speak to him and he speaks to us. And I was like, God speaks to you? This was the first time I'd ever heard the idea that prayer was two-way. And it was this connection, this relationship. And I thought, now there's something I can get behind. Rather than just speaking out something into the ether, a connection with a God who speaks and has an answer for me. Like, God has an answer for us, for every situation.
Yes.
If we're willing to listen. Eric Sillerier, a French pastor and theologian, he put it this way. We have the Bible today because men and women heard God's voice. King David composed some of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible because he heard God's voice. Our lives can be enriched by the wisdom of the Proverbs because Solomon heard God's voice. The people of Israel received the Ten Commandments because Moses heard God's voice. Mary knew she was going to bring the Savior into the world because she heard God's voice. The voice of God also led Noah to build an ark, Abraham to have a son, Joshua to conquer the promised land, Deborah and Gideon to drive back Israel's enemies, and the prophets to prophesy. Yes, God speaks.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word hearing God, I can think of like that, the cloud of fire and lightning on the mountain as God speaks to the people of Israel, and there's like lightning going on and earthquakes and this mighty booming voice and a huge trumpet blast, and God speaks and people hear God. Or I think about a mighty prophet who's saying, thus saith the Lord, and then they give this amazing, incredible prophecy. But what we're talking about today is not the big prophetic word or some huge revelation or even the voice booming from heaven, but the everyday God wanting to speak to you as his child, knowing you, loving you, having an answer for the situation that you're in as we come as part of our prayer life. Just that element of hearing God. All the other stuff is great and is hearing God is amazing, but we're just focusing on this element of just hearing God as we pray. So let's first ask the question, does God even want to speak to us? Does he want to speak to us? Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Much of the Old Testament is God speaking to his people. There are entire books of prophecy of just God speaking to his people about big things and tiny, seemingly really insignificant things like how you blend the material in your socks. Like, it's crazy. He just wants to speak about everything from the ginormous to the really seemingly mundane. And then Jesus himself, he came. He's God's word, God communicating, made flesh. God wanted to speak to us so much, he became flesh in Jesus Christ to speak the word to us. Jesus said his words are spirit and they are life. And he came to give us life. He gives us life through speaking. And then, of course, we know that he's given us his Holy Spirit to speak to us. It says John 14:26, that he teaches us all things and brings to our remembrance all that Jesus has said. And we should also recognize how much God wants to speak to us because of how much the devil doesn't want us to hear it. The first words that he said to Adam and Eve were, did God really say? The first thing he wants to do is cause us to doubt that we hear God. Because hearing God's voice is one of the most precious gifts that is reserved for us, his children.
Yes.
It's why the enemy wants to do everything he can to discourage us. Because if we're hearing from our Father, nothing can be shaken in us.
That's right.
Nothing can be shaken.
Yeah.
So we need to know, what did God really say? That's important. We'll look at that. But first we need to know that he wants to speak. He wants to say. And I want to assure you, he does. He wants to speak to us. Even more than we want to hear him. So the second question then is, how does God speak to us? And there are multiple times in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, where God spoke audibly. Now, I'm sure she wouldn't mind me saying, but Tatiana, if you've met Tatiana, you hear Tatiana? You are, you're right in front of me. Has an incredible testimony about the audible voice, like hearing the voice of God speak to her before you even knew him, right? You were on a plane and God spoke to you like, who was that? Who was part of her testimony leading up to her summit. So if you get opportunity, we don't have time right now, Tatiana, but do come and ask her, are you happy to share that? Because it's an amazing testimony. But God has spoken audibly through the Old and New Testament, but generally seems to be more of the exception. When God usually speaks, most commonly, is through his word. Now, if when we're coming and we're opening our Bible in our quiet time, are you ready? You're going to hear this. That is God speaking to you. We open the Bible that we can so often take for granted, and we just, oh, where shall I read today? Like, that is God speaking to us. If we ever think, I don't know, I can hear God, open the word. That is the voice of God written down. It is him speaking to us. And if we apply it, that's us listening. Like, it's so important that we remember this word, the word that we have, the Bible, this is God speaking to us. And, you know, sometimes in that we might get that sense of something just jumping off the page, something really profound that seems to speak to us in a particular moment. But what I wouldn't recommend, by the way, is opening our Bible, kind of flicking through it. I know this might be a bit like hearing God 101, but I think this is really important that we come back to this. Like, sometimes we flick the Bible and go, God, speak to me. Judas went into a field and, so it's not always, but sometimes God does speak through that, but it's not always the best approach, but better to do what the Bible says, which is read it, listen to the voice of God through it, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance what he wants to say. We need to know the word in order to have like that word in us ready for the Holy Spirit to remind us. But sometimes something will just jump off the page. You've ever experienced that? You're reading something and you just know, this is for me for right now. Thank you, Jesus. And the other seemingly most common way that God speaks to his people whilst we're kind of in prayer, either while we're praying in tongues or while we're kind of waiting for him, we're praying with pen to paper, we're journaling, we're giving him space as we listen to him, is this kind of sense or an impression or a mental image or an inner voice or a conscience. And I mentioned this earlier, this story of in 1 Kings 19 of Elijah hearing God in the silence. I think it's really interesting that the angel spoke to him. So he's already heard God speak through an angel. And then the word of the Lord came to him. So after meeting with the angel, then God spoke to him. And it seems to be this peek into how God was speaking to him in silence. So often when we talk about the word hearing God, it can sound a little bit like grandiose. But it's just listening to God who is within us, the Holy Spirit who lives in our heart, speaking to us in our inner man. When my wife Kate spoke about hearing God last year, you can, if you want more on this, brilliant message, you can go back and listen to it. I think it was April 23rd last year. She used the phrase, rather than hearing God, just listening to him, which is maybe a better word. Like, rather than hearing God of like some prophetic thing, just let's just listen to what he wants to say. And our conscience is very important. Have you ever had a sense of just like, I'm not sure this is right for me? And there's just this inner, the Bible talks a lot about our conscience. It's one of the things we talk about little in the church in terms of the way God speaks to us, but he speaks often through our conscience. It is important to know that sometimes the Bible says our conscience can be seared. And so sometimes we should have our conscience speaking to us saying, God is saying, no, this isn't good. But we've ignored it so long that it sears our conscience, we don't recognize it. And equally, it can be a little bit prone to lawfulness. And so we go, oh, no, that thing's not, I'm too holy for that. And God's saying, it's okay, that's fine for you. But we almost put ourselves above God in that sense. So we still need to be careful. But he can speak to us as this inner voice, this conscience, this sense or impression. So a lot of the time, hearing God isn't actually like hearing anything, certainly not with our ears. But it might cause you to ask the question, well, then, if it's just an inner voice, how do I know it's God's voice and not just my own? That is a very important and necessary question, and we're going to come back to that. But essentially, in this still small voice, or this in the silence of God speaking with this impression, with this sense, with this revealing something in us, in our knower, if you like, something inside. If he can speak through that, if we're listening, He can speak through anything. He can speak through our situation or our circumstances. He can speak through a movie we're watching or a book we're reading or a magazine article or whatever it might be. But I will suggest this, that if we're just going, oh, well, that's great. God can speak to me through anything. So I'll just start binge watching all of these horror films. Well, God might still want to speak to you through it, but it's not an excuse to say, well, I can do whatever I want then, because God will speak to me through anything, you know. Oh, great, I can do whatever. I would encourage you that if you're probably more like reading a book on prayer or devotion or discipleship or something like that, probably God will speak to you through it more than if you're reading like a steamy romance novel, for example. You know, like, so God can speak through everything, but there's still opportunities we can give him to speak. Just want to make that clear. It's a bit of a grace doesn't mean license to sin, by no means. I just wanted to drop that in case anyone's like, oh, brilliant. You know, I'm sure you wouldn't. One of the other most common ways I think God speaks is through one another, through other believers. And this is why it's so important that we live what Pastor Clive and Jane were talking about last week, this shoulder to shoulder. I need challenge. I need people in my life who see me and know me, who I've given permission to as well, to say, Colin, I don't think that's God's best for you in your life. To allow God to speak to me through that. I'm thankful for the leaders that I have around me. I'm thankful for Simon Coles, who speak honestly to me. And I trust him to know, if Simon's speaking something to me, Colin, I need to challenge you on this. I'm going to take it seriously because I believe God wants to speak to me through him. And I appreciate that. I also need encouragement. I need love and those around me to say, do you remember, God loves you. He's with you. He's for you in this situation. God often speaks to us through one another. It's why we so need one another. It's why we're here today. It's why we're a church. And then there's also that sense of just, I find personally, when I put pen to paper, that sense of start writing what God is saying. And it seems to come more easily than just a voice in my head somewhere like that. And if you don't do that, I would encourage you to give that a go. Get a Bible verse. Ask God, what are you saying to me through that? And just start to write it down and see what God wants to say to you through it. And one of the other things that God often speaks through, we talked about this many times before, is a sense of peace. I find especially in a what should I do about this God prayer, a sense of peace. And Pastor Colin Urquhart always used to say, if you've got two decisions to make, just pick one. Pray about it first, of course. Just pick one and live with that as though that is the decision for the next couple of weeks. And if in that you have a sense of peace, it was probably the right decision. Yes. If in it you don't have a sense of peace, go, oh, that was probably the wrong one. Choose the other one and you'll probably find there's the sense of peace. Yeah. And I've followed that advice. And just the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of peace, leading in that, go, it just feels like that's the right thing to do. So I'd really encourage you to try that if you're in a, what should I do about this situation, God? But however God is speaking to us, hearing his voice is a spiritual experience that requires faith. And we have to come as children, simply believe, just innocently say, okay, Jesus, I'm here, I'm going to listen. And though there might be a bit of mix-up, there might be a bit of me in there might be a bit of I'm not sure, I'm just going to trust that you want to speak to me, you can speak to me, and you are speaking to me.
Amen.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20. So our third question then is, will God speak to us? And more importantly for us maybe is, will God speak to me? Yeah, God speaks to Pastor Clive. He gets like words of knowledge and direction for the church and all that kind of thing. But like, will he speak to little old me? And the Old Testament, God spoke to and through certain people, the prophets, maybe the priests, kings. Occasionally, as we said, he speak audibly to large groups of people, but generally only a few individuals. But in Acts, God said this, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh and they'll hear from me, basically. Jesus said in John 8:47, whoever belongs to God hears the words of God. Jesus talked about like, I'm your good shepherd. You're my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. So are you a sheep following Jesus, the good shepherd?
Yes.
Are you a whoever belongs to God?
Yes.
Are you a whoever belongs to God?
Yes.
Over this side, are you a whoever belongs to God?
Yes.
Over this side?
Yes.
Well, Easter holidays, guys. Goodness me, those early starts, late starts. Sorry, Lions. They're not doing good for us, are they? So, whoever belongs to God, that's us. We'll hear the words of God. So, hearing from God is not just for the prophet. I know we know this stuff, but it's so important to hear this and receive it and speak it over ourselves. It's not just for the man of God. It's not just for the spiritually elite or for the church leader or for the pastor. It is for me. God, you want to speak and you can speak and you are speaking to me. So sometimes the way we feel disqualified from hearing God, usually there's actually, we've already heard him. And often we've not always realized it, but God has been speaking. He's always speaking. He's ready to speak to every situation. So I want to give you just a couple of minutes to share with your neighbor, share a time where you know you believe you've heard God clearly. Not necessarily an audible voice. It might be through a meeting or a book you've read or a song or a Bible verse, but just a bit of testimony. I heard God speak. And how, maybe, what did he say? And how did you know that was God? I'm just going to give you 2 minutes, so maybe like a minute each. Grab the person next to you. In Crawley, do the same, and I'll call you back together in just a moment. Great. We're going to have some more time a little bit later just to pray together, but did you hear something encouraging? Are you reminded God speaks? Great. Well, I invited Nick to come this morning and just share a bit of testimony. I kind of love the fact that, like, I almost like don't want to interrupt, because the fact that everyone wants to keep talking is because there's so much excitement to share of what God has done, which is cool. So I'm like, oh, should definitely have given more time for that. But there will be more time later. But I've asked Nick to come and share this morning because he's got a particularly amazing testimony really recently of just what of God speaking in a really normal, everyday kind of experience in life that we all experience, and yet has been really transformative and a miracle and been amazing. So I wanted to give Nick the opportunity, you in just in your business and over the last couple of years, do you want to just take some time to share a bit about what is it that you do, where you've been, how God was speaking in that, and I'm going to ask you some questions. So over to you.
Yeah, brilliant. So during lunch yesterday, knowing that today was happening, Josie, my wife, said to me, have you written any notes for this? I said, no. It's all in here, isn't it? It's all in here. And she said, I really think you should. I said, why? She said, well, you do have a tendency to over-dramatise things sometimes. I'm not going to say it. So after I'd finished sobbing uncontrollably, I did write some notes down. So I think that's quite important, actually, that we don't try to embellish kind of testimonies, because sometimes, you know, I think we can all do it. So I'm going to try and not go off-piste. I have got a load of notes here. But yeah, just to give you a background, so I do run a business in the town, and God has always spoken to me about running a business, and I've always wanted to. I never wanted to work for somebody. I wanted to be my own boss, as a lot of probably people in this room do or want to as well. But those that have done it know that it can come with a lot of stress and a lot of things that aren't as glamorous as the media might portray when running a business. But anyway, yeah, so back in 2014, I started a software company in the very exciting world of insurance. There we go. IT and insurance, can I just add? There we go, yeah. People are queuing up to do those jobs. And so over the course of about 4 years, I built a piece of software, and eventually it was sold to a company. At the time when we were offered the option to sell, I didn't want to do it. I had two other partners, and they did. I felt God very strongly saying to me, don't sell this business, it's still got life left in it. But for whatever reason, I was outvoted and the business was sold. It did mean that I had a bit of cash to play with, but it also meant that I became an employee again. I actually worked for the company that bought our business. So for 3 years, I worked there, and there's a long story, but I was very, very unhappy there. There was a lot of things that happened that shouldn't have happened within the business. It was a very bad place to work. And I became quite mentally and physically unwell, and I just hated it. And I was like, I need to get out. Like, this, God doesn't need to tell me this. I need to get out. And God was like, yeah, you do. So I did, and I basically, because I was a director of this company, I had to give a 6 months' notice. So I had 6 months to decide what to do next, which seems like a long time, but actually that time went very, very quickly. It's like, I know, God, at this stage, I know I don't want to be here, and that is it. I don't have any other thing lined up. I don't want to work for somebody else. I want to start something else, but what? So we kind of went from there, really. And then I had, you know, I had that 6 months' time kind of just to think about ideas. And I had two were kind of at the top of my list of things to have a crack at. One was to go back and remake the software that I'd previously sold. Yeah, because you know what, this does have legs, it's still got life in it, I'm going to try and go and do that again. And the other was actually completely separate. There's a bathroom store down East Street, if anyone remembers, and I was going to convert that into a serviced office area. And this was just before COVID happened and everybody was made to work from home. Not too many great ideas there. And I was just crying out to God every day. You know, for that 6 months, I was saying, God, would you please give me some inspiration? Would you please show me where to go? Can you please tell me what it is I'm supposed to do in my life? Obviously, all in accordance with your will. And then every night, I got into the habit of praying and reading the Bible and just sort of just really trying to find out what, you know, what my life was, you know, what I'm supposed to do with it, what's happening next. And one day, I mean, going back to the thing you mentioned earlier about words jumping off the page, I was reading the book of Joshua, and it's sort of talking about how when the city of Jericho was conquered, if anybody tried to rebuild it they would be cursed. So if you remember my previous idea of rebuilding the company that I... So God quite clearly in that moment said, you don't want to do that. So I was down to one option. And as I've already mentioned, COVID happened. And I was literally moments away to signing the lease on this. You know, it's going to be a 5-year lease on this commercial building, all the kind of refurb and everything that go with it. And then COVID happened. And people weren't working from offices. People weren't working from anywhere apart from home. So I was like, okay, well, that's probably a good time to kind of say goodbye to that idea too, which I'm very pleased that I did. So then the final thing, so I was out of ideas, I had nothing left. A bit miserable. Josie sort of bore the brunt of it, of my moaning. And then my good friend Dave Kent gave me a call one day and he said, oh, I'm so sick of my business. And I'm so sick of where I work at the moment. He's like, would you be up for starting something? I was like, yep. And I don't know if most people know, but Dave actually trained me how to program. So Dave was very influential in my earlier successes in business, and he showed me how to program. He gave me a lot of help and guidance, and I've always wanted to work with him. And then he's there on the phone. I've not spoken to the guy for months, and he's like, oh, do you want to start a business? So I was like, yes. But what business? We had no idea. So we were, kind of just going through the motions of, you know, what is it could we do? We had loads of different ideas, had different business plans. And eventually we landed on a business plan to create software for insurance brokers. How exciting. I know there's a few people here that work in insurance, and it is a very, is an industry crying out for innovation, so let's just put it that way. There's lots of opportunity, very few people doing the kind of things that we were doing. So since we landed on that business idea, it's just been a very long process, and we've been having to refine the plan and keep going back to the drawing board. But we've been blessed with the right people coming along at the right time, and some of you guys are actually in this room today, and massively thank you for all your support here, and just for being there for me and for us, and it's brilliant. Thank you. Also doors being opened when we needed them. So, for example, we managed to sign 5 clients in the early days, but we realised no one was actually using the software. We just couldn't work it out. And both Dave and I prayed and we said, look, Lord, we need somebody that will use the software. It sounds so fundamental. But we need somebody that will actually put it through its paces and basically beta test it for us. And then one day through our website, somebody booked a demo with me, completely unannounced, said they loved the software, wanted to go ahead. And you've got to be careful what you wish for, because these guys called us like pretty much every day, every 10 minutes with problems, saying, no, this isn't working. Why isn't that working? Oh, what have we signed up to? But, you know, in one sense, yeah, great. We've got somebody testing the software. You know, we can make it better for future. But then also, oh, man, we've got a lot of work to do. So, you know, that's just one example of the kind of delays and the issues that we've been facing as a business since going. And also just the delay, again, with the insurance and also B2B sales, it often takes a long time to get somebody to agree to them actually kind of paying you some cash. For example, I had a demo in, I gave a software demonstration in January to one company, great client, really big, you know, perfect kind of client for us. And they said, yeah, we love it. This is amazing. There's nothing like that out there. So I'm sitting there thinking, brilliant. Bear in mind, this was January. So we're thinking maybe December we could start. So the lifeblood of a new business is cash. And that's the thing that we've really been struggling to sort of to get going, really. We've got a great idea. You know, that's been validated multiple times. Just the cash side of things and the time is the issue.
Where did things get to by, like, the beginning of this year with, like, where you were thinking, OK, so the cash isn't quite coming in yet. What do we do now?
Leave and start a job and think, what have I done with my life? was generally one of the things that went into my head for a very short moment until I realised actually so what
it was,
I...
It was looking pretty bleak.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't looking too good. You know, we've got, including myself and Dave, we've got three staff. That comes at a cost. We're not actually making a profit yet. So, you know, each month money is disappearing. And again, you know, the lifeblood of a startup is cash and cash flow and runway. So yeah, that was pretty stressful, and yeah, it still is, to be honest.
So why didn't you, at that point where it was looking really bleak and cash isn't coming in, why didn't you just think, do the sensible business decision and fold and close the business?
Sensible. That's the word, because I don't do sensible. It's because I felt that God was saying this is right, and it'd been validated, you know, in multiple ways. It was the desire of my heart, even though I hated it at times, you know, it was, you know, the thing that got me up in the morning, the thing that kept me up at night, you know, it was, I just knew it was the right thing. But, you know, in the natural, it was, okay, how is this your best, God? How is this what you've called me to do?
So I'm interested in that, like, what did you say, I'd heard God. What did that look like? How did that happen? How did you know that was God? So everything's looking really terrible and there's no reason you should keep going other than this sense of God has said, keep going, I'm in this. Like, how did you know that was him?
I suppose a lot of it comes from kind of experience. I've been a Christian for a long time. I know how to hear God. This is just one testimony of a string of different things that God's kind of really come through for me in my life. I know God's voice. But yeah, also, I think the key for me really was actually involving other people and having friends like you and people in the church that I'd kind of said, look, this is a situation. I don't want to kind of go through this kind of almost gambler's paradox where I'm thinking, oh, I've invested this much into this business. I want to keep going to see it through. I want somebody to tell me, if I'm on the wrong track here, please, you know, just say. And I think that really helped actually involving other people. I mean, there'll always be private things that you probably don't want to, but for a lot of the things, I think we can involve others around us and actually have their support and their insights too. And in fact, so we got to the point where we next month we would have no cash, and I have to basically take a tough decision and get rid of one of the team. And that was only, you know, next month, and then the following month it would have to continue.
And you've sunk like every penny into this, yeah, right? Like, you've put everything in because God said. So you just keep going and going, even though it looked like, yeah, this is not looking good. God had said, so you kept going.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry, so I interrupted.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And yeah, so both Dave and I, we've always known that this is what God wants us to do. But Dave said, you know, I'm going to agree to resign, essentially, because I believe that this isn't going to be an issue. But legally, from, you know, HR perspective, I had to give notice because in a month's time there wouldn't be a job. And Dave agreed to do it. We had all the things signed and sealed, and we just locked it in a cupboard. And we said, look, this this won't be an issue. Let's continue to pray. And as time went on, nothing happened. And that was quite disconcerting. It was quite disappointing. I was like, God, surely this is obvious. You need to do something here. I feel like we're doing all the right things, but nothing's really happening. I went and spoke to Simon Coles, and he sat there, and we sort of went through the options, and he said, don't think you've got many options other than to pray. he gave some very good advice as well. But essentially, that was it. I was at the edge of a cliff. It's either fly or fall. It was, yeah, what do we do? And then I think it was maybe 1 or 2 days before Dave's notice was due to expire, and I had an email through from Innovate UK, and they said, hi, Mr. Jordan. Just to let you know, we've had a few changes to the way that our budgets work.
This was a grant scheme you'd applied for the year before, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they said you'd recently, well, last year you'd applied for a grant, a government grant, and we rejected you, but now would you be open to receiving the cash? I'll go on then. Why not? So that I was actually on the phone to a client at the time, and that email came in. I saw it, and I just stopped mid-sentence, and I said, "Dave." Dave was like, "Oh my goodness!" And like that to me was the undeniable miracle that this is God. You know, this how can you know governments don't usually just change budgets to make it favourable to the people receiving the cash. And yeah, so we've now got 55 grand free cash from the government to keep us going. You know, in the short term, obviously this is still a journey. You know, this isn't the end of the story. There's still a long way to go. But it just helps with the initial kind of emergency. And that's where God comes through. I really believe that is that, you know, we're in a time of crisis and that's when God really kind of stands in the gap. And I've always felt that with the way that I hear God is kind of like a pinball machine in that, you mentioned it earlier, sometimes you just got to pick a choice. You got to make a choice. And if it's the wrong one, God's going to kind of tap you back into the right direction. And that's how it's always felt for me. God sees the bigger picture. God sees that ball moving around and the potential holes that you're going to fall down. And he's there and he's guiding you and moving you. And he knows, you know, all the bits of information that he needs to know. So
it's an amazing testament. Hey, should we just give Nick some encouragement and Dave? And just before you leave the stage, should we just pray? Yeah. Like, Father, firstly, we want to thank you for your provision. Father, thank you that you are faithful. When you say, keep going, it's because you are there waiting for us to just kind of join you at the finish line. I know it's not the end, but Jesus, of this particular test, Father, I thank you that Nick and Dave have been faithful and they've passed this test. Like they've persevered and proven their faith is genuine. And Father, I thank you for just you continuing to pour out your blessing. Father, we know there'll be good times, there'll be hard times, but in all of it, Jesus, you're leading, you're guiding, you're prospering. And Jesus, all of it as a testimony to your goodness and your glory. That Jesus, even in the business, it doesn't seem very spiritual, but to you, Jesus, it is an opportunity to reveal your glory to the business world. And Father, I just thank you for your favor on these guys. And Lord, to keep trusting you and keep following you and what you're saying in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, mate. I think it's amazing, just a testament to the faithfulness of just hearing God, no matter what the circumstances. If God has spoken, we can trust him. But I also love that Nick also recognised, but I could be wrong. Yeah. But I also still trust him. Yeah. So even if I get it wrong a bit, he's still good. And I think there's something really important there about us in our hearing God. It's not about getting it perfect or 100% right 100% of the time. We probably never will. But nevertheless, we trust him in what he said and we trust him when we get it wrong. So I just want to speed through this for just a couple of minutes, just to kind of bring this all together and then give us an opportunity to pray. So how to verify you're hearing God? How do I know it's not just in my head? Well, the first thing is most important is, does it line up with the word? Is it in the Bible? God will never say something that does not line up, at least in principle, with the Bible. If you have a sense of God is saying that you should go out and you know, I don't know, go on a sort of massacre of people, then it's probably not God speaking. That's definitely not in the Bible. So how to verify God, it lines up with the word. If Jesus speaks, Jesus is loving. He brings life. His words are spirit and life. He might convict, but he never condemns. We can also, Nick spoke about, submit it to others, just the counsel and wisdom of others. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 2:14 about the witness of the spirit and someone else going, I'm not sure that is God, or yes, I believe that is. And we also need to recognize that we will get it wrong sometimes. We're not to stifle the Holy Spirit or to scoff at prophecies, but we are to, the Bible says, test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. We should test it and know that if we get it wrong, that's okay. But we should admit it. We should recognize it and admit it. And then we can learn from our mistakes of what wasn't God as much as what was God. And as Nick said, as he's heard God in the past, he's learned to trust that and go, well, is this just me? And if you do those things where you think, I think this is just me, it doesn't work out. But those things you go, I think this is God, and you trust it and you do it and it works out, then you're more confident next time to recognize the difference. That was God and that was me. So sometimes we just need to take a step of faith and go, I'm just going to trust, but I'm going to admit if I was wrong. And we can learn from it. So what hinders us from hearing God then? Job 33 verse 14 says, God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. I think first, we kind of mentioned this already, is noise. Jesus lived his life walking everywhere at 3 miles per hour. He often withdrew to a quiet place to be with his Father. How much time do we spend listening to God, giving him space to speak, rather than just constant distractions or distracting ourselves or the noise of everything around us? I think we need more time for silence and solitude and more time to just give him space to speak. What are we giving our attention to? The kind of music we listen to and the movies that we watch and all those kind of things, the Netflix series or whatever it might be. How much are we giving room for God to speak? He can speak through anything, but he's more likely to speak through the word, through something that, you know, through prayer, meditation, those kind of things. And it's important to remember that silence doesn't mean emptying ourselves, but it's focusing on the Holy Spirit who is within us. Buddhism and a lot of Far Eastern kind of religion is talking about emptying ourselves. We find enlightenment through empty. This is not what silence is. It is getting rid of all of the clamoring things for our attention and just giving God the space of the one who is in us to speak clearly. And then lastly, then, I think one of the reasons what hinders us hearing God is fear. Sometimes we don't want to hear God on a subject. I remember a friend of mine sharing a testimony of someone they knew who was in a relationship, and they asked them, well, do you think this is... this is God, what God wants for you, because they were a bit unsure. I'm not sure this is really God's best. I don't think this is right. But do you think this is God? I haven't prayed about it. Why not? I don't want to, because I don't think I'd like what God would say. How often do we go, I don't want to hear God because I'm not sure I'm going to like what he has to say? In fact, this happened with Israel in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 13:11. They didn't want to listen to God because they didn't want to hear his correction. But what they didn't realize, and what we often don't realize, is that God corrects those he loves. And that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. So we don't need to worry about what he wants to say on a subject because it's always for our good. Is there shame? Maybe like Adam and Eve in the garden who hid from God, afraid that their disobedience would be exposed. If I hear from God, he's going to correct me and I don't want that. Or maybe what if I get it wrong? We've talked about that. It's okay to get it wrong. It's okay. Don't let there be a hindrance. What if Jesus rejects me? Perhaps we're afraid that if we try to hear God on something and we fail, it will only reinforce our deepest suspicions that God doesn't love us, he doesn't want to speak to us, we're not good enough and we're a failure. Those things are lies of the enemy, they are not true. But if there is that fear, that can stop us, hinder us from hearing God. And what if he says something or asks me to do something that's too hard to bear? We need to remember that Jesus said that his commands are not burdensome. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. So in hearing that list, do we have any fears? Do you have any fears around hearing from God? If there is, it's likely because we don't understand his character. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, as he was committed and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He's not holding our sins against us. We can bring our fears to him. In Exodus 33:11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. We can bring our fears and say, Father, forgive me. Help me grow in confidence in this thing and so that I would trust you and hear from you. And And remember that when he speaks, God might give us direction or prophetic word or an answer to a problem that we're facing or whatever. But the first thing he does is reveal himself to us and speak to us about his relationship with us, his goodness, how he sees us, who we are in him. And we can always come back to the word and test it and know that it's true. And one last practical thing. I find that when I'm hearing God for another, if I'm praying for somebody else, then I'll ask God for a picture or a sense or an impression. And as soon as I have one, the first thing I'll then ask is then, God, would you show me if, how, and when I should share that with that person?
Yeah, very important.
Because we don't want just like a word of knowledge about something. We need the word of wisdom of how to do it in a loving way. Or if I'm in a prayer meeting and I get a sense of like, I think God's saying this, I'll then ask God, God, is that just for me or is that for everybody?
Yeah.
And it's just good to just kind of have those checks so that we're just learning to walk with him in it so we manage well the words that he's given us, steward them well. But I find often it seems to be a great way to start hearing God is to hear God for someone else.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it seems it's easier often to hear God for someone else than our own situation. So though we've run out of time this morning, I would encourage you two things. One, ideally this morning, but at least this week before you go, grab someone near you and offer, should we just pray for one another? Just encouragement. Remember, it will not be condemnation. Don't give anything directional. Please no one say, I just feel the Lord saying that you're to be my wife or you're to quit your job and move to China or something like that. Nothing directional, but just encouraging and uplifting and just the voice of God for them. Like what God wants. And remember, if you're receiving that, test it, test everything, weigh it. Does it line up with the word? But be encouraged as we hear God for one another. And if you heard God, just encourage one another. You just heard God for me. This is great. And then this week, take some time, pen your hand, journal out, open the Bible, get a verse, maybe Psalm, and then just start to write down, God, what do you want to say to me through this? And start to hear some time for God to speak to you for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father, we just thank you that you're speaking. We thank you for who you are, for you're speaking to our business world, our work world. You're speaking into our families, our decisions, our futures, our destinies, our callings. Father, you're speaking to us for ourselves and for others. You've got so much you want to say to us. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for just a deeper heart connection with you. As we speak with you, you speak to us. Heart speaks to heart. And Jesus, thank you, Father, for just a people who are your sheep, hearing your voice, responding to it, following you. And walking into good, green pasture. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.